Jesus once told a story about 10 women going to a wedding. They leave home in good time, and after a long day of travel, they arrive at the wedding only to find that the bridegroom is delayed. So all 10 women do the sensible thing and take a nap. And then around midnight, the cry comes, "The party is here." So they all get up and dust themselves off and get ready to join the festivities. 5 of those women brought with them extra oil for their lamps, and 5 did not. So those who have spare oil go and join the party, and those other 5 run out to go and find somebody who's selling oil at midnight. The story, as Matthew tells it, commends the 5 wise ones who came prepared. But I'm drawn to the other 5 women who run out with flickering lights, desperately seeking for a source of new life. At this time of year, I often hear that our spiritual task is looking for light. Light gathers us in a dark and shadowed time. We want shelter and warmth and hope. And the scriptures tell us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The metaphor of darkness is one that we use cautiously. To describe something as dark or as black can be used to imply that it is evil or ignorant or cruel or harmful. It can imply an absence, like the blank on the map of the colonizer that describes a land as empty. These types of metaphors of darkness and blackness have been used to support racist concepts like white supremacy. And this has been discussed many times from this pulpit. On our website, I found 7 pages of sermons that talk about darkness. So when we hear that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, we are listening out for a different meaning. We are allowing the wise darkness to calm our sight and help us perceive the world afresh. Humans are not well adapted to living in the dark. And for the most part, we can tend to assume that we are all able to see one another, and also to be seen. Even minor accommodations for blind and partially sighted people are often overlooked. This year, when we sent out the pastor's Christmas letter, I remembered we could print some of them in a larger format after we'd mailed them, for the 2nd year running. In this case, my good vision limited my perception. I wasn't thinking about the needs of those who see things differently. So who is in the dark? Looking for light is such a powerful metaphor because it admits that the world is full of places where humans are not safe and are not welcome. 5 women who use the last of their lamplight are taking the risk of getting lost or confused, of stumbling on unseen hazards, or of falling afoul of the intentions of immoral people. We are vulnerable in this world. And some of us have stocks of lamp oil and money and mercenaries to protect us, but others do not. Looking for light can be about seeking the existential hope for a better future. It can also be about finding a warm place to live, finding food for your child. On Wednesday, I came across our church administrator, Madeline, who was at the door, talking with a newcomer to Toronto, a woman who had made her way across the city for over an hour to pick up a grocery cart to support her and her son. Later on the same day, a group of us gathered in this sanctuary and wrote prayers together for the Blue Christmas service. And we placed them on the tree, the small tree, which is right behind us here in the alcove. We were praying that the season would be bearable. In each case, we were looking for light, and we were looking for God's grace. And it would be very easy to say, these are some little sparks of light in the dark. These are some notes of hope that sound in the silence. And that could wrap up the sermon nicely. But what does the light help us to see? The metaphor of looking for light imagines us sort of stumbling around in the unlit places, seeking after a glimmer on the horizon, questing after hope. But light doesn't just attract, it also reveals. I would like to suggest that instead of looking for the light, we are invited to look with the light, to see by means of the light. And when we do manage to come across a source of light or heat or hope, we can choose to use that light to see anew and to see the truth. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. I don't know if you've ever turned on a light in a room and seen things scuttle away into the corner. What light reveals is not always peaceful and joyful. When you light a lamp and take it into a dark corner, you don't always find lost coins. Sometimes there are unredacted horrors. All of us know that in order to have billionaires and nuclear weapons, some children somewhere have to go hungry. When Jesus is born and throughout his life, he gathers people with his glory, and he also illuminates with his light. Even as a baby, he sees and shows the frightening truth that some people have to flee because their very existence is a threat for those who are in power. And this same light shows different things. In the Christmas story, the cunning and ruthless shepherds are shown a world of hope and wonder. And the naive and witless travelers from the East, supposedly wise men, are shown the harsh realities of violent power. And these are the stories we've been hearing and we will continue to hear in the days to come. I invite you to wonder with me, what did each group do with the light that they received? What did they do with what they learned? To see by means of the light implies that our hope is not something that is out there lost in the dark, waiting for us to stumble upon it and find it. Our hope instead is something that we create with God as we search with the light that God has given us to carry. We will learn that evil deeds are not the only thing that is done in the dark. There are also new perspectives for our creativity, new allies for our causes, new oil for our lamps. Long, dry seeds can catch life with just a little water. The first words of creation bring light and reveal that God was always there before there was light or darkness. Before words were spoken or silence was heard, God did not make light because God cannot see in the dark. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word is also wisdom, and it is also creator and love. This Word, this unitary being, is the ultimate reality and the source of all of the light and life and liberation and love that we experience. And the Bible says that this one was in the beginning, before heaven and earth, before humans and churches and complicated theological metaphors. This unity of God is the wholeness of reality. It is that which comes before all other things and which calls everything together in the ministry of reconciliation. In the beginning was the Word. And we learn that this ultimate reality that dwells in utter perfection is not so good that it can tempt God to stay away from us and our imperfection. Instead of dwelling in absolute splendor and solitude, God creates. God enters our world and dwells among us, and we have seen God's glory. Out of God's fullness, we have received grace upon grace, and we've begun to learn about the God who was there from the beginning, and who, as the first thing of creation, made light so that we could see. What will we do with the glory and the light that we have found? We are small. Our eyesight is not good. We are not able to make out details, and we are generally unsure what exactly is God's beautiful promise for us. But I think if you are here, it is because you know something. You've seen something that is good and precious, and you've come here to remember something amazing and to see it again. I think that God is not just found among the people inside the wedding party who have their lives together, who brought extra oil, and who showed up early. God is also among the people who are racing around in the dark, half scared, half giddy, using the last gleamings of their lanterns to seek out yet more light, and coming at last, late, to bring what they have found to the closed door of the banquet hall. We are not just here because this building is well lit and heated. We're here because we can see better when we gather to share God's glory. The glory of God's adventure here on earth and in flesh is the light that gathers us. And this glorious light shines out from the beginning in order to show us the way, if we will only dare to carry it each day. And each day we tell the story that God's hope for us and for our world is older and stronger than any hidden agenda or shrouded power. So carry the light and be amazed. Amen.